Well, first of all, I want to welcome our live stream audience. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel. And I'm grateful that we all have a chance to be together today. It's always an honor. So when I take a look at good friends and new acquaintances, look forward to that. Today is actually our membership Sunday. So don't be alarmed. It's always good for people just to experience what Hope Chapel is all about. Thank you, Pastor David. And if you get a chance, you might want to consider what this bulletin card might contain for you. We'll explain that in just a little bit. But what a joy for us on this time. We really kind of have Membership Sunday once a year. We're going to be adding just a little bit more since we have our discipleship classes in there. But for many of you, we always give people an opportunity for the year to just see what the DNA is of Hope Chapel. We are a four-square church. And yesterday, I was privileged to represent you and to speak at Dusty Hill's Celebration of Life service. Dusty went home to be with Jesus at a young age of 63. But so many of Hope Chapel people over the years have said, I remember Dusty when he greeted me. And then naturally, so many of us remember when we launched Jesus House in 2018. Dusty was a part of that launch team. So we just sent him off so well. But I was moved to see so many people that had influenced or has been influenced by their time here at Hope Chapel. So I hope that your time here with us today, that there'll be something of a takeaway where you say, man, I feel better because I've spent time with Jesus and with Jesus people. For today, though, it is interesting to note, there are always those that say, I've been at Hope Chapel for a long time. And some, it's we realized even before Ainsley, my wife, and I. So let's just kind of like roll call real quick. Is that all right? Because some of you say, I think I'm going to join, and they all look like they're new people to me. But you'll find, how many have been here at Hope Chapel, well, not same membership, but just been a part of the church for 20 years or more? Would you just kind of like stand up? Just stand up. We want to give you an applause and say, look at that. Yeah. Sweet. You don't even look that old. Man, how about, let's just take 10 years and above. How about that? We better just, 10 years and above. You've been here. Wow. Excellent. Woo. Praise God. Yeah, thank you, everybody, for keep coming back. We're grateful that. How about 5 years or up, just nearby? Oh, yeah, sweet. Look at that. Okay, 1 year and thereabouts, give or take. You just. Well, that's great. Well, we praise God for that. You know, it's interesting because even when we were looking over our roll books, Dusty joined the church January 30th, 2011. And with that, there were many of you who are here or in the first service that, wow, that's when they joined too. So we love that. We want to log you in if this is where you feel. If not, then you can wait till next year or go through our Reaching for the Crown discipleship course too. Hey, wanted to, you might say, well, what is it going to require? Simply put this before we get into the message, it really does help that you're born again. So if you've received Christ as your Savior, you really are already in the clan, the family, that is. Because we take that Acts chapter 4, verse 43, 44, that God added to the church daily those who were being saved. So if you've received Christ, man, you're already in. It's just wisdom to you to say, who do I want to be a part of? And have them to be a part of my life, that's a very, very wise thing to do. It was Jesus who named us. Jesus says, hey, Pete, upon that confession in me, I'm going to build my church. So he named it. He named us. And he says he's going to protect us and the gates of hell won't prevail. I'm going to build and I'm going to protect it. So that's really very powerful, don't you think? And the word church in the Greek is ekklesia, and that's where we get our word exit from. Ekklesia means called out. Really, what Jesus calls his church is called out ones from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. That's what we are, a bunch of people who've been called out, made new, different, You look different. We are different. And that's what he calls us. You are just different from society. You're called out ones. And eventually, who knows, signs of the time, maybe that rapture is going to happen even while you're at lunch today. Boy, you'd want to give your life to Jesus, just in case, just telling you. But he might just legitimately call us out eventually. We know that's going to be happen biblically. So if at the end of my message, want to just highlight too on our bulletin card, as you who are so consistent here, you know that we take notes and get into life groups, but you'll notice on the Welcome to Hope Chapel today, we've inserted new member pledge, and I will be in welcoming our new members. Hope there's at least one to come up, and we're going to just read the pledge and then say, I will. We want to pray a blessing, and as a Foursquare church, we receive new people into fellowship on a Sunday. That's what we're responsible for. It's an exciting time. And first service was very exciting too. So we know that the Lord's going to do some neat things here as well. But let's go ahead and let's then begin. We're going to start our seventh part, our final part to our series, which is Good Habits with Giving Christ More in 2024. We started this the beginning of the year. We were looking at this. Our theme for the church is Giving Christ More in 2024. Our series is Good Habits about Giving Christ More in 2024. And how many know that giving is really a part of the nature of God? But we're taking a look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38, too, where Jesus says, give and you will receive. We'll just cut that verse short. But if you give, whatever you're lacking, just consider that. If you're lacking love, if you're lacking resources, why don't you step out in faith, give, and just see what God's going to do to give it back to you. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. And so we're having some great testimonies about people. I said, you know what? I stepped out and kind of gave a little bit more of my time going to a life group. And man, I feel like I'm getting much more back in return. Boy, that's kingdom stuff. That's where it's at. So we get a chance today to consider today's topic, and then next Sunday we're going to start a brand new series. But today's message is the good habit of love. I'm so glad we've saved the best for last. And February is the month of love, right? Amore. How many know what amore is? It's when an eel lunges out and bites you in a snout. That's amore. Huh? You thought I was going to say love. Well, the topic is love, but we're here in Huntington Beach, so we might as well just go with the oceanography. Here we go. We're going to begin. Lord, open our hearts and help us see some things. Our world needs what your word is describing to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You and I know that the world is really void of love. If you were to consider some things, we're not just talking about just love in general, but there's some obvious needs in our society. And there is no better time right now than to apply or distribute love the way God's word is saying. We're finding that it is a tremendous challenge today with what is happening in society, because people are finding, I feel, that the world today has less love, more mean-spirited, more critical, that there's just something going on in our society that is unusual. Now, prophecy said that these things would happen, but we're finding, isn't it obvious, that those things that we're facing, there is really a sum total of an article about the violence going on even in politics. That this article mentioned that among Biden supporters, 41% believe that violence is okay to stop the Republican agenda. And let me just add, among Republicans who are Trump supporters feel that 31% feel that violence can be embraced to stop the Democrats. So it's an incredible statement to see those things happening. Would that be possible? I think there's really, if you take a look and talk to people that are not regenerated in the love for God, They would feel that same way. And then if you deal with people who deal with the public, you hear things from business owners or educators or administrators that it feels like people are more hostile. They're feeling and coming across mean-spirited, ruthless, more toxic. We've had people come through our drive-through prayer right out here. You can stop anytime, but people that don't attend this church. Just even last week and a half, person said, I need to quit my job. I'm filled with anxiety. My boss is so toxic and so mean. I cannot take it. We have people come and say, could you please pray for my child? They're being bullied at school. So those things, maybe you've come across and heard stories about that, but that's our society and what's taking place. So I wish it was just filled to political challenges, that violent element, but there's some things that are really going on. So today, I'm going to take a hard look at just love and what that is all about, because if you will join with me and say, Lord, I'm going to give more of myself, wow, what would that look like in love? I think you're going to find some great things start to bring a breakthrough. Number one on our notes, embrace the call to love. That would just be something, simple little request. Would you embrace that? Consider that? It was Jesus in John chapter 13, 34, reading from the New Living Translation. Follow along with me. But let's see what Jesus says to us, his followers. He said, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, that's important when we look at letter A, look at your notes. Love is not an optional quality. It's important for us to recognize it's a command. Jesus is saying, I want you to have this command. And through the New Testament, it seems repetitive where there's an element you need to love. Love God, love others. But it's out there. One virtue that the world sees or expects among people that at least say go to church is, does that church group, do those Christians love? Isn't that interesting? Jesus is the one said, for your love for one another will prove to the world that you're following me. It's kind of like Jesus is giving the opportunity for the world to judge his church by our love for one another. Wow. And take a look, and it's pretty important, that biblical love comes at a great cost too. It's important for us to realize if you and I were to go in that direction, submit to that area, I'm going to love or start to love people, then it's going to cost quite a bit. Letter B, love is defined by how Jesus loved. And that's what he was saying. I want you to love one another just the same way I've loved you. Now, that's important. What a great example that is. You know, one person came to Jesus and asked, well, who is my neighbor that I'm supposed to love? And he came out, and it was in Luke chapter 10. You can write that down, verse 30. Remember the story about the Good Samaritan? He said, the Good Samaritan is that person, is the example. And when we talk about love will really cost you, a lot of times I'm telling people who might be willing to present their life to Jesus, you want to tell them, hey, it's going to cost you everything. Before you say yes, you really want to do this, it'll be the most exquisite, fulfilling life you'll ever have. But there's some real changes coming on. And I believe one is love. When Jesus was describing the Good Samaritan, that love cost him to lay down his prejudice. Because at the time, if you know biblical history, Jews did not like Samaritans. It cost that person that Jesus was laying out his own well-being. Who knows if the robbers were in the bushes waiting for him? Sometimes there's those that could be called Jesus followers and says, you know what, that's a little too risky. I'm not going to do that. Did you pray about it? No, I don't need to. I'm just not willing to run the risk. Love, like Jesus is describing, could require some kind of change of our own plans. Sometimes we find Christians don't want to kind of participate because it doesn't fit in their schedule for the weekend. I'm just too busy that Saturday. So there's areas with which Jesus is laying out, this is what love is about. that person in the story was willing to risk his energy, his resources, his efforts, and yes, even his money to provide care for this person. And then he did it all over again, went after to make sure the guy was all right. So Jesus was saying, if you really want to know what love's all about, it's like, what? So when I say it's going to cost you and me, I don't know if I've actually arrived to all that, but I want to get there. I want to give Christ more. I'm all in love with Jesus, but it might have to be reflected on people that are around me and certainly don't deserve that kind of love. It'll cost me. So it's a decision we really have to make. So worldly love, I have found, does not give a witness to who you are or I am. Everybody loves that same way like the world does. I like people that like me. Does not speak anything to other people. But when you start to love even your enemies, people are saying, that's weird. That's a little bit different. What are you all about? So our witness to the world is really not our churches or our church buildings. Let's consider that's what Jesus said. Our witness is not our programs or even our attendance. It's really how we love one another. And to have a membership Sunday where we get a chance to say, I don't even know that person, but I'm going to love them. Wow. I don't even know this group, but I feel God wants me to come. I'm going to let that group love me back. Letter C on your notes. Love is the one quality every human needs. Isn't that important? No wonder why works of darkness will come in to try to disrupt people's relationship with one another. Because we were created to have relationships. It's just the way God made us. And when people back away and go into isolation, there's a lot of unhealth that comes into people. We've seen that with regards to COVID, quarantines, and isolation. So people get influenced so much easier. They really are easily controlled when they don't have others to kind of help give some balance. So it's going to be important for us. Let's move on to number two. Number two, remove the love destroyers. Hey, if I'm going to start giving Christ more, especially with regards to love, there's going to be some barriers. You might have seen that. You've laid those things down, but let's just check it out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says this. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater and worshiping the things of this world. So when we take a look at the fleshly qualities that are here, behaviors and attitudes that lurk within us, it really does destroy a person's ability to be genuinely engaged with the way Jesus is wanting us to engage, especially among his people. So we want to take a look. The point is removing the love destroyers. It really is out there. Be careful. I like Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, says those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So that's a big, mature thing to do, is it not? Things that come along. It's like, man, I would think that Christians would just really be loving one another. That's what the world thinks. That's what you and I think. But there could be things that cause a barrier. And so we're just saying, if you're going to really step into that, you may want to consider what that barrier is. Letter A, destructive habits we can fill our lives with. Here are some of those habits I have related to in myself. Like, Lord, help me to be less of this so that I can genuinely be a part of and helpful to others. Here's a couple of them. How about pride? Pride isolates. Pride says, you know, I really don't need them, but that's very destructive. How can you love anybody you're not even around? Another area is fear. Fear of being rejected or hurt or wounded or judged, which leads to isolation too. That can be one of those destructive barriers that keep people back from loving others. Also, unforgiveness or resentment. Man, that is probably the most toxic when it comes to people engaged in really what it means to love. Or critical spirit, negativism, or pessimism, or only being sarcastic. It's just these things eliminate and really model wrong things to the world that says, is that what a Christian's all about? Be careful about that. We're just talking about destructive habits. How about gossip, talking negatively about other people? That will really cut into the fiber. You and I know these things, but that's the point of our message, or guilt and shame. Sometimes people say, I'm not worthy to receive love by that. Therefore, I won't give it. I don't think I should be among that great group. Or just assuming evil intentions of others. That is an interesting one that I've come across. Why are they so nice to me? They probably want something from me. Now I go to church, they only want money. Now they're going to probably ask me to do something. Evil intentions eliminate people from giving love. And so we're just talking about the good habit of loving. I'm all for that, but I realize, why do I not engage the way I should? Because Jesus calls me to the world, but I don't want to be out there. I need a change of heart. And you know what? Jesus does do that, does he not? Letter B, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you your destructive habits. Now, these are things I've just kind of said, like, Lord, what is it that makes me not want to go there? I get asked to do a number of things with our four square movement, Ainsley knows, and I thought, I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. So I'll think, well, Lord, what is it that's keeping me back from doing certain things? Because I love pastoring. I love what I do. I love this church. Therefore, I think I do some things well here. Maybe that's why I'm asked to do other things other places. But I'll say, Lord, help me. And he really does. What are those things that could blind us by way of just eliminating? So be careful about that. The Holy Spirit will help. And I find that there's a difference between when the Holy Spirit brings a conviction and when the enemy brings condemnation. So conviction, simply put, and we're going to go into that in the coming weeks. It's going to be great. But when I'm convicted, when you're convicted, there's always a direction that the Lord has for us. There's always hope and healing. Don't go there because I have something better for you. Just don't go there anymore. Look what that's done. So God brings health and healing. Condemnation is one that just says you've done that so many times, God's not going to forgive you. We really feel defeated, and that is not the heart of Jesus. Be careful about that. Know the difference. And sometimes works of darkness will speak through people. And man, you know what those real zingers are like. Somebody said something in passing, and it stings for days. Absolute. What is behind that word? That's why the gift of prophecy is so powerful when somebody speaks a word that builds up. So it's going to be important. Number three, let's take a look. Connect to the source of love. A daily connecting to the source of love. How many know it's Jesus and the wonderful enrichment of the Holy Spirit? I like what 2 Corinthians 5:14 says. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. So you start to see somebody that's really been touched by God. It's not that we're perfect, but we're sure following the one that is. Man, I want to follow that person. And there's something of the love of God that starts to materialize. You could either move your life with the power of Christ, Christ's power, or just move in that old willpower. You have your choice. How many tried the willpower your way through being better at caring for and helping with and loving others? It's very difficult. How about Romans chapter 5, verse 5? It says this, for we know how dearly God loves us. Just take a moment here. I hope you do. I hope you know how dearly God loves you. Just take a moment. That's a reality and a revelation that everybody should understand. Somebody says, man, if we don't understand how much God loves us, or we even love ourselves, our neighbor really is in trouble. So how well does God love us? That's the beauty of just having the symbol of death called the cross. Boy, that is a love statement for you and for me. Verse 5 goes on, but we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So allowing the Holy Spirit to give you a replenishing amount of love. That really speaks volumes to society. We're grateful for that. We really desire that source of God's Holy Spirit. Let's take a look just for a moment in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So it's going to be pretty exciting. The key to the Christian life really is the key to overcoming those things that set us aside. My flesh really causes me more problems than even works of darkness. So just take a moment for a moment. Would you just close your eyes just for a second? Holy Spirit, what is it that keeps me to be overwhelmed and maybe afraid of people? Or even expressing my care for others? Thank you, Lord, for doing that. He will reveal those things to you. And then watch how he's going to help you with that. Letter A in our notes, learn the difference between flesh and spirit. Well, we sure have been having some great reaching for the Crown Discipleship course. And thank you, many of you are part of that. But the idea of just learning, there is a difference between the Holy Spirit and his fruit and then human operation. It really does help when we're wanting to set up our home life. But check it out with me in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So that's where you start to get a chance to see, is that person legitimately a follower of Jesus? Fruit that, and by the way, fruit is, it grows, right? It's just not a gift. A gift is given, and that's gift of the Holy Spirit. God can give that to you the day you're born again, something unique. But a fruit, like we're describing now, develops over time, like fruit on a tree. But it says once again, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So every follower of Jesus, eventually you start to realize, man, that's my old self, and I'd like to go somewhere with my relationship with Jesus, and it's really pretty awesome when it starts to happen. It's one thing to get rid of one particular bent personality trait or bad nature or habit and have nothing to bring back into place. I sure like how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Letter B, depend daily on the Holy Spirit's power. Why don't you ask him, Holy Spirit, boy, I need an ability to help me love my family member here or there. That's important. I'll tell you, he will, because if that's your heart's desire, God wants to express real kindness, and that's probably going to be the greatest way that they realize there is a God in heaven, because you're showing a pattern that just doesn't normally come. But I'll tell you, it's not going to be of our own nature. Holy Spirit, help me. If you're going to fill me full of the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, I need to have an ability to love even the unlovely. Brings us to number four, choose to love. It really comes down to that. You make that choice. I choose to love or not to love. Jesus says, this is really my directives, my command. I really want you to love one another. What a great day on this membership Sunday, but let me read to you 1 Corinthians 13. It's that portion that describes love. I actually think it's the portion that describes Jesus. So here it says in the word, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance or all circumstances. It's amazing about this love that we're talking about. That's a lifestyle. Christ has given us everything we need, but But I'm telling you, as you start to see that, say, Lord, I'm going to give you some things in my life. Why don't we just start with love? That is a great ingredient to say, I'm going to start to share Christ's love. Well, I'm asking Pastor Sean Minutella to lead us in a song right now. And I believe it's not only what we want to see happen in our own lives, but it's called The Jesus Way. It's by Phil Wickham. And I think it's very powerful and poignant. I'm going to invite you, if you get a chance, would you stand just for a moment? Let's prepare our hearts just even to sing this. Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness. We're so grateful that you're here to enable us to live a life that is so true and so accurate. We've experienced your love for us, but there are others that need to experience that love too. And they're hurting. And they won't know unless we step into the Jesus way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.